started as a performance artist end of the 60s, and this performance took nearly place for a whole day, and in a forest near Hamburg, when I still was a student in Hamburg. And the reason why what happened was that I always built a kind of construction for the body for one person, for one single person. This piece, for example, only was dedicated to this woman because she had a very special kind of walking. And I saw her in the street and I talked to her and I slowly talked her into what I want to do, that I pinnacle her head to make a more obvious way of walking. And she got very excited, and I built the piece, and I measured everything that it fits her. And then we had this performance for one day in the forest, and she was very excited, and it was just, she nearly felt like a unicorn. And later, and we had this Super 8 camera, and later we tried to do this whole performance again. And she walked like an old horse. She was no more, it was gone. The whole energy between her and me and between the piece and that she performed she was unable to do it again. And that was the tragic with my early pieces very often, that you get in a ritual involved with these people, with one person or with two people, and you start to build the piece and to work with these people and explain how you want to do it and have this performance, and after the tension is gone. So it's not like in a theater you perform over and over again, or you take the person and put it in another park somewhere in Paris or somewhere. It wouldn't work. It would be totally fake. So that's the reason this few little fragments of a Super 8 film still exist to show what happens this day. And later, more and more, I start to write precise the way of performing. And with this preciseness of writing, I started more to direct it. And with that, the performance changed. It became more like a story. And that, I think, is what you will see tonight in these three different films you will see. Because in the end, it becomes like nearly a fiction film, what is, again, created out of my own story, my own space, but it becomes a story. So this, the next film, now we will see another three fragments done, I think, 73, when I lived in New York and I had a tiny little place and I couldn't build big things, and I just built masks for friends and for myself out of a certain aggression and out of a certain way of falling in love, I can say it this way, so you will see it. And this is also just filmed as a performance. And after this is a film 75, because this he puts the films together. And there come three small performances with masks in New York. And after this comes the first written script for a long performance of 1 week. And that's named Berlin Exercises. And shows that I rented a space, what I was not knowing before, and I try slowly that this space becomes my own space. So building objects and kind of, wie sagt man das, einnehmen, einen Raum.
To take in?
Yeah, to take in a space and take in a bird and take in friends. I think it's more than that. Oh, I design them, and I can't do this totally myself. I work with some technician, with somebody who cuts the things and doing, but all the movements and designing and that I do all myself. No, I write first the scenario, and out of this I start then to develop the whole the images, the mechanical pieces or whatever. So, for example, I just finished to write a script, but it's, I hope it becomes my next film if the financial situation will allow it. It was always a big problem. And it's a homage to Buster Keaton. And I always admired Keaton, what I think when you have seen these films with you understand, because he has this incredible movements like a machine very often. And he fights himself against machines all the time. So I was very fascinated over many years. And I met his widow and I studied his interviews and looked at all the films. And I thought, you can't do anything to somebody's acting like Keaton or something. And then I found in his life, first of all, he had done all these fantastic silent movies till he was 33 years old. And then he never in the end was able to do one other authentic film where he was writing the, or developing the scene and acting and finishing the film. And so he became on one side an alcoholic and he lost all his money through divorce and terrible things. And he ended up in a sanatorium near Los Angeles. And his, and because he was a, as a baby on stage, because it was a, in vaudeville involved with his parents, and the parents throw him in the audience throws him back. So there he learned all these kind of things. And his godfather was Ari Undini, and he taught him as a kid how to escape out of a straitjacket. And when they put him in these alcoholic maniac moments in a straitjacket in the sanatorium, he was the only one who could free himself and go down from the fourth floor on a train pipe and disappear. And later he married a crazy nurse and he wakes up in an airplane to Mexico City and has no idea that he married this horrible woman and things like that. So it's like a Buster Keaton movie, the same chaotic thing. And this key story, what really happened after he, a year later after he finished The Cameraman, his last really fantastic film. And this story I took as where my film starts. That means I went back to the same place, to the same sanatorium, what is existing still nowadays with different people, six patients, a doctor, and so on. And but the spirit of Keaton is still alive. So everything goes in a Keatonesque way. So this is in the end the next film what I want to do. So it becomes a homage to Keaton, where everything somehow functions like with Keaton, but you don't see him. The Keaton is in a little fork dancing around, Keaton is in this, Keaton is in a, everyone, in everybody. So this is this idea I developed now new, but I also have no idea where it will end. So yeah, that I want to explain. So the first thing what I do, that I develop, I write myself the script, and then from this I go to develop all this, so objects and everything.
I wondered what the whole episode of if you say that an object is the condensed version of a story, yeah? It's the last phase.
Yeah.
What is the schaukel, the whole the idea of the swing? You have a lot of text about that, about Raum and Zeit and time and space that are sort of evaporating, or that you don't feel the time anymore, if you're on that. Is it difficult to talk about that because it is already a sign?
No, I try to...
Because it comes back in La Ferdinanda, it comes back as an object.
Yeah, but this is why I came back as a sign in La Ferdinanda, as a mechanized sign. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I would use a swing again. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps something this tiny swinging in the corner or something. But I think also it has for me something very light, swinging. It has it and also it has something soothing. What is going and then it stops, and if you push it, it starts again, like a pendulum, something like this. And that in the end has to do again with time and so like that. But I don't know if I should analyze this thing. Call it.
No, it's just nice to hear your associations with it. I mean, it doesn't have to have a fixed meaning. But
no, and I think this all the Einsteins as well as the Ferdinanda have to do with movements. With movements who interrupted, or with movements who go on, are interrupted and after repeat again. I think, and that has also the dance for me. What is very, like also the Iron Dancer, what is in a way repeated. And also you can go so far that certain images are repeated again in a certain rhythm. So I think you can go also so far to say, also when you edit the song, how you come with the rhythm to the next and you come back to the same. So I like always to come back to a certain image again and repeat it and somehow make it. So it has
it swings
to do with
through the And the whole idea of dancing, of exercising in dance and transforming a person into a dancing person, what does that relate to? I mean, it's also something somebody learns and gets lighter and also starts...
Yeah, and it gets a quite artificial movement, what becomes then nearly mechanized.
Uh-huh.
If you see, like, these girls with their... Because when I constructed these strange strings for these two girls, where the leg was touched to the arm and things like that. And in the end, it looks like an exercise perhaps ballet girls have to do, but they never did. It was my invention, and they had done it very seriously. It was very strange what happened with them, how they become suddenly like puppets, like little robots doing these things. So that was the first movement towards the table for me, towards the dancing table in the end. So it starts with these kind of mechanized movements.
Is that also the way you look at birds? Do you see them as little robots? Or do you see them as... Are they also machines?
No.
In a way?
No, but with birds I use mainly the feathers to and that I use as a skin. And not as a bird itself. Mm-hmm. And because you see a lot of things also has this thing from something very fragile to something very strong. What makes the fragility more vulnerable. So it's always this balance. And I think feathers is one of these materia towards iron or steel to, if you put it together, but it makes the most kind of vibration. Also, I had this piece in Düsseldorf, you saw it, where it was an egg on a tiny little, wie sagt man, eine Halter, so ein kleiner Ei.
The thing that holds it.
That holds an egg, an goose egg, and from near the ceiling came a pendulum, what was really like a needle, very sharp, and nearly 1 meter top of the egg, this pendulum was swinging. So each time you had the feeling it scratched the egg, and it gives yourself a reflex, what makes you like this, but it never touched the egg, but the optical way you see it, it looked like it hurts each time the egg, but it was not. So this tension, that's what I always try to create, also in the films, where also you get very soothed, you always think something happening to the girl, something at the beginning, is horrible, starts in this space, everybody lives together, and in the moment you think, oh, finally nothing's happening more, that happens. So it's always this kind of, this tension what is built up, what makes you nervous, and in the end, when you think then it touches you. So that I think this is a way where anyhow I like to tell my stories and how I feel, to get the audience involved. Yeah, you see this. You mean what you have seen in Düsseldorf?
Yes.
Yeah, it was named Body Reflexes, and I had done a drawing in this catalog that it's the whole room is like a torso, and the torso in the middle is this mercury, and the reflection of different materials was that this hammer had simultaneously touch the wall, and at the same time this little hammer hits the container and the mercury starts to trample, and then the egg starts to go, the pendulum goes over the egg. So it's this reaction of reaction of reaction, what is like a reflex of a body. When you touch a certain point of acupuncture on your foot, it goes here, it goes here, it goes there. So this kind of thing, what I wanted to explain with three materials like an egg, and mercury, and sulfur. You remember there was this wall of sulfur on the other side. What starts then a process? What can lead to something else again? What is not the end there? Again, I think mercury is this most nervous metal you can use.
Small balls. Small kind of balls.
I don't know.
Small
balls? Why do you say small balls? When you hit the because it's the most nervous metal you can find. If you have balls, then it's something concrete, and mercury is a liquid, and I named it also mercury bath. So it's this liquid what is trembling. If you have a ball, it's rolling. It's not trembling, and I think these tiny movements, these tiny changes, that's jetzt muss ich das wieder in Deutsch sagen, was mich am meisten interessiert, auch zu beobachten, wie sich es verändert, wie sich die kleinen, minimalen Veränderungen, nicht die großen, die ganz kleinen. Was the really big things you anyhow can't change. Ich sage ja, das waren die drei Materialien, das Ei, der Sulfur und das Quecksilber.
Ja.
Nein, er hat mich gefragt wegen dieser, warum dieses. Ich habe einen Aspekt versucht zu erklären, warum.
Ich glaube, die drei Aspekte zusammen, da möchte ich Sie vielleicht weiter übergehen. Anche, warum hast du das gefragt? Weil das die drei Dinge zusammen.
Ja,
Yeah.
Aber nicht das Dogma.
Ne, das ist mir eben dann wieder zu schwer. Deswegen bin ich da so vorsichtig. Ja, ja, ich weiß. Ja.
Und das Problem, über solche Dinge zu reden, ist, dass es eine gewisse, dass es ganz banal
oder nein. Ich weiß, ich finde, das ist sehr schwierig zu sagen. Ich meine, ich benutze ganz bestimmte, ich meine, es gibt andere Künstler, die benutzen ein Fett und ein und das. Und bei mir ist das beschränkt, was anfängt mit Bädern, mit Wasser, mit Salz, mit einem Ei und so weiter. Und jetzt. Und ich taste mich da auch so vor. Und das ist ein Prozess, der für mich auch nicht abgeschlossen ist. Und deswegen ist das für mich sehr schwierig, da konkret jetzt zu sagen, in der Alchemie bedeutet das Quecksilber, das Gold und diese Sachen. Erstens ist das, weiß das jeder. Und ich finde einfach, das ist wahnsinnig, fängt an, das schon wieder einzugrenzen. Und deswegen habe ich die Schwierigkeit, da jetzt, also ich meine, ich könnte das, was man also in der Alchemie, warum, was das Sulfur bedeutet oder das Salz bedeutet, aber ich lasse das offen noch. Ja, und das ist mir irgendwo auch ganz wichtig und deswegen kann ich, ist das auch so schwierig, da im Moment drüber zu reden. Ich meine, ich habe vorher, Antje, ich weiß nicht, ob du es gesehen hast, diese Arbeit in Baden-Baden gehabt mit den Quecksilbersäulen. Und das war die Geschichte über das große Thermometer vom Inferno zum Paradiso. Und ja, wenn ich das so sage, das war also diese Wortgeschichte meiner eigenen Thermometerstriche in Worte, dieser Geschichte der Ferdinanda. Genauso wie ich diese Villa auch gesehen habe, die Architektur von dem Buontalenti war eingeteilt in das Paradies und das Inferno. Und von da habe ich das dann in eine riesige Säule umgesetzt mit Quecksilber vom Paradies zum Inferno. Und da habe ich das erste Mal Quecksilber benutzt, aber auch wieder in einem anderen Kontext. Und deswegen, und jetzt war das zweite Mal mit diesem Bad. Und jetzt bin ich dabei, aus diesem Bad, aus der Entwicklung des Bades, dieser zitternden Flüssigkeit, eine neue Sache zu entwickeln. Aber das ist nicht so in der Form der Alchemie, wie man vielleicht als Alchemist darüber sprechen würde. Verstehst du? Und deswegen ist das für mich so schwierig. Ja, das habe ich ja gesagt, das war dieses blaue Bad, ne? Das Blau, ja. Ja. Nee, das habe ich nicht gemacht, da war ich auch nicht da, das hat war die Leute, die Ausstellung gemacht haben, da weiß ich auch nichts von. Ich hatte denen nur gesagt, da waren zwei Zeichnungen dabei, die Entwicklung dieses Bades, wie das entstanden ist, die sollten sie aufhängen. Ich weiß nicht, warum sie dazu gekommen sind, das nochmal an die Wand zu drucken. Das war also, ich habe das auch, das war gehörte einer Galerie diese Arbeit und die haben das da aufgebaut.
Und ich da. Auch noch mit
oh Gott. Aber da bin ich leider nicht zuständig, denn das hätte ich bestimmt nicht gemacht. Ich finde einfach, die Spannung ist, dass du an diese Wanne gehst und plötzlich siehst du in der Wanne einen Text und verstehst die Geschichte. Das ist die Spannung, das Aufregende, was da passiert. Und das, wenn du das an die Wand schreibst, ist natürlich alles kaputt.
Ja.
Ja. Und im goldenen Bad. Yeah. Nein, und nachher ist ja im Film diese Wanne ohne den Text und der Text wird gesprochen oder wird Fragmente davon erzählt, die immer wieder eingefädelt werden inzwischen die Handlungen der Person. Ja. Nein, auch ich finde auch. Ja, aber das ist auch die im Endeffekt die Erklärung am Ende mit dem Vogel, der erschossen ist und trotzdem lebt. Und eigentlich von daher die Geschichte weitergeht und fast neu wieder beginnen kann. Und das ist eben diese, was ich sehe, was ich am Anfang sagte, diese Verletzbarkeit, wo du immer an diesen Seiltanz einer Verletzbarkeit kommst, um etwas zu begreifen und wieder neu einzusetzen für eine nächste Übung.
Inwieweit ist dann so ein Film, wo du jetzt davon geredet hast, dass du die machen lässt über Buster Keaton? Inwieweit hat das dann noch Relation dazu? Oder ist überhaupt das Idee von einem Mechanismus machen, that you make a machine?
Nein, das ist nicht die you don't make a machine, you mechanize certain actions. Mm-hmm. And I think it has more to do with this, and also that it has so much to do with images, how you put certain images together, also for the next film. What is? I think it's always, you can tell a story with a star line, and these films live a lot out of images, you see, where it's no dialogue or something. And then it's very hard to explain this, what's happening. So the Keaton story is really also a lot based on images, what will relate between a kind of collection of snakes in the cellar, because Keaton, when he was old, he had these strange snake eyes, and then butterflies and this, and the patients and mechanized actions. And so it's a whole kind of development of what is not just how you tell the story. What you just see of
it starts visually.
I, and that's the way I in the end, what for me is mainly film about, that you visualize images what normally you can't edit in this way.
If you have the images, you start writing them down in text.
Yeah. Yeah, but in a lot of things, you have a basic text, and then I have these images what nearly you can't put in a script because nobody would give money, because normally people don't understand it, but to put these things together. So I have two scripts of my own images what I know how I want to shoot it, and then I have the normal script what I give to somebody because I want to raise money. And then I have these two things, but I know exactly how I want to shoot it and why I want to have it this way. And not different. And then it's the next thing in the end when you edit the film, how you, and very often like with things happening what you don't know in advance. If you shoot with actors, somebody has this idea. And for example, with this bird, with this peacock, I had first written that this peacock is dying in the end. It will be shooted and busted the end. And then we had, the peacocks are the most nervous animals you can imagine. They, when they see people, they start to turn their neck and they can break their neck and when they get too nervous. So we had a doctor who had to give them injections for the heart here, and it was totally more complicated. I shoot with any actor with these peacocks. And so this doctor came, he gave him an injection to sleep. And then we put a little bit blood on the wing and we wanted to shoot the dead peacock. But this peacock was so nervous when the camera was running, he put up his head and he looked around and then he went back to sleep. And it was so fantastic. He said, shoot, shoot, shoot. He said, it's the most amazing thing. And then I used, and that was my end in the film in the end. But I had no idea that that could happen. So he's going tired and suddenly going up again, opening his eye, and it was, and in the moment I thought that's the most fantastic end of a movie you can have. That the peacock wakes up again and is back to life, also if he is hurt. So so you never know what you might. I'm always terribly curious what you can invent and what then happens by itself when you do a film.
Do you like the fact that your films are shown in an art context and in museums, or would you prefer to have them in normal movie theaters?
Yeah, but this, I think, has also to do with the audience. How much a film audience would have interest, let's say, in the Einfänger, or how people would say that they don't understand or it's too... you see, it's a bit a different world. So I'm happy to show it anywhere, everywhere, where it's possible. But because I'm bounded on the other side still to this, doing this artwork or doing this sculpture pieces, so it's related between.
You're bound.
And so I can't. So it's different. Ferdinanda is shown in small cinemas in Germany. And then on the other side, some museums order the film, so I don't know.
But it's not a way you want to develop, making more and more feature films.
No, I rather want to do it more small, I think. Because it's this commercial, this whole thing with money also. You see, in America, if you want to raise money, people want to have the final cut. So that means they want to tell you how you edit the film, which actors you take, which music you put in. And that's the end, so I wouldn't spend my time to do a film like that. If it can't stay in my hands, like these auteur film, like Fassbinder and everybody tried to create again, if that's not possible, I wouldn't do a film. Because this is a quality, what is there, obviously, even with a lot of film people in Europe, and also in early American films, but what is totally lost in a lot of commercial films nowadays, from my point of view. And I don't want to go in this direction at all. Or I can't. I wouldn't succeed. But I know too.
When you said you are bound to make the smaller work, the sculptures and things, basin, is that because of your own feeling towards
yeah.
it? Or it's not
yeah.
for some other practical reason?
No.
Something you want to remain doing
yeah.
in the future.
Yeah. Because out of this goal, out of this source you create also. So it's complicated because I work in these different mediums, but it seems sometimes it goes in this direction, but I always take it back, in a way. And I have no idea where it ends, so. You just do how you believe in it. Yeah?
It's funny, it seems to be props that are the result from a film, a story that ends in a prop.
Yeah.
Mostly it's the other way around. You start with a prop to make a story.
Yeah, or then like in the like with the swings, it became the metal swings, and then they are in the
mm-hmm.
next film, and I have also things from Ferdinanda perhaps who go down in the kitten film, so it's a continuous somehow story what goes on, and because I lived 10 years in America and I understand it, or I had a feeling to understand certain things there, for that reason I really would love to do this film because it's my own story how I had seen certain circumstances when I can't wait to tell someone. So.
Well, that's it.
Thank you for
no more questions. Yeah. Thank you very Thank much. You.
Yeah.
Nice.